Hi, I'm Dan Q, and you're listening to a podcast that nobody asked for, exclusively about things that only I find interesting. Today, I'll be telling you about my 2024 in video games so far. As usual, there's a blog post to accompany this episode, and today you'll find it at danq.link/2024. My 2024 in video games. My life affords me a lot less time for video games than it used to long ago, and as a result, my tastes have changed accordingly. I really appreciate games that I can drop at a moment's notice and pick up again some other time without losing lots of progress. If a game loads quickly, that's a bonus. I still play a little of my favourite variant of Sid Meier's Civilization, that is, Civilization 5, plus Vox Populi, plus a couple of other quality of life mods, but I swear I would play more of it if it didn't take so long to load. Even after hacking around it to dodge the launcher logo as an introduction, my 12-core i7 processor takes about 80 seconds from clicking launch the game to having loaded my latest save, which if I'm only going to have time to play three turns is frustratingly long to wait. Contrast Horizon Forbidden West, which I'll talk about in a moment. That's a game 14 years younger with much higher hardware requirements, and it only takes 17 seconds to achieve the same. Perhaps I'm overanalyzing this. In any case, I also like it if a game can remind me what I was trying to achieve when I come back, given that that could be weeks or months later. I've got a reduced tolerance for dynamically generated content. Oh, you want me to fetch you another 5 Nern root, do you? Hard pass. If I might only get to throw 20 hours at a game, I'd much prefer to spend that time exploring content deliberately and thoughtfully authored by a human. And, you know, it has to be fun. I rarely buy games on impulse anymore, and I often wait weeks or months after release dates, even if it's a title I'm anticipating, to see what the reviewers make of it. That said, I have played 3 excellent video games this year that I would like to recommend to you. There's no spoilers, so you can hear my reviews and make your mind up for yourself about whether you'd like to give them a go. First up, Horizon Forbidden West. I loved Horizon Zero Dawn. But even if this review persuades you that you should play its sequel, Forbidden West, you really ought to play Zero Dawn first. In fact, if you're going to consume the Horizon story as thoroughly as possible and strictly in chronological order, you should probably play Horizon Zero Dawn, then read the graphic novel that takes place between one and the other, which covers some of the events that occur between the two games, and then play Forbidden West. But in any case, there's a direct continuation of plot going on between Zero Dawn and Forbidden West that you'll appreciate way better if you play one than the other. Plus, Zero Dawn stands alone as a great game in its own right. Horizon as a series gives a lot to love, from a rich world and story, immersive environments, near seamless loading, excellent voice acting, and a rewarding difficulty curve. But perhaps all of those are second to what a kick-ass character the protagonist is. The Horizon series tells the story of Aloy, from her childhood onwards, growing up as an outcast in a tribal society on a future Earth inhabited by robotic reimaginings of creatures that would be familiar to us today, albeit some of them extinct. Once relatively docile, a mysterious event known as the Derangement, shortly before Aloy's birth, made these machines aggressive and dangerous, leading to a hostile world in which Aloy seeks to prove herself a worthy hunter to the tribe that cast her out. All of which leads to a series of adventures that gradually explain the nature of the world and how it came to be that way, and provide a path by which Aloy can perhaps provide a brighter future for humankind. It's well written, and it's clever, and you'll fight and die over and over as you learn your way around the countless permutations of weapons and tools and traps and strategies that you'll employ, but it's the kind of learning curve that's more rewarding than frustrating. And there are so many different paths to victory that when I watch my partner Ruth play it, she uses tactics that I'd never even conceived of. Horizon Forbidden West is like Zero Dawn, but more. More quests, more exploration, more machines, more characters, and more of the same story, answering questions you might have found yourself thinking during its prequel. But it's not just more of the same. It outgrows the mould of its predecessor too. Faced with bigger challenges than she can tackle by herself, Aloy comes to assemble a team of trusted party members, and when you're not out fighting giant robots, or spelunking underwater caves, or exploring the ruins of ancient San Francisco, you're working alongside them. And that's one of the places the game really shines. Your associates chatter to each other, grow and change, and each brings something special to the story that invites you to care for each of them as individuals. The musical score, cinematic in its scope, has been revamped too, and it shows off its ability to adapt dynamically to different situations. Face off against one of the terrifying new aquatic enemies, and you'll be treated to a nautical theme, for example. And the formulaic quests of the predecessor, get to the place, climb the thing, which were already fine, are now riddled with new quirks and complexities to keep you thinking. I love the game's commitment to demonstrating the diversity of humanity. Both speaking and background characters in Forbidden West express a rarely seen mixture of races, genders and sexualities, and the story sensitively and compassionately touches on issues of disability, neurodiversity and transgender identity. Yeah, it's more presence than representation. Hey look, it's Sappho and her friend, but it's still better than I'm used to seeing in a major video game release. The second game I wanted to recommend is Thank Goodness You're Here. And if I ever need to explain to an American colleague why that one time they visited London does not give them an understanding about what life is like in the north of England, this is the video game I'll point them at. Thank Goodness You're Here is a short, somewhat minigame-driven, absurd to the point of Monty Pythonism, wildly British comedy game. And it's a gem. It's not challenging by any stretch of the imagination, but that only serves to turn the focus even more on the weird and wonderful game world of Barnsworth, itself clearly inspired by real-world Barnsley. Playing a salesman sent to the town to meet the Lord Mayor, the player ends up stuck with nothing to do. By the way, did you ever see the alternate ending to Far Cry 4? If you did, you might appreciate a similar trick that can be used to shortcut Thank Goodness You're Here. In any case, the salesman takes on a couple of dozen odd jobs for the inhabitants of the town, meeting a mixed bag of stereotypes and tropes as they go along. Presented in a hand-drawn style that's as distinctive and bizarre as it is an expression of the effort that must have gone into it, this game's clearly a project of passion for Yorkshire-based developers Coal Supper. Yes, that's really what they call themselves. I particularly enjoyed a recurring joke in which a player will be performing some chore, like mowing grass for the park keeper or chopping spuds at the chippy, and the scene will cut to some typically inanimate objects having a conversation, flowers or potatoes, while the player's actions gradually bring them closer and closer in the background. But it's hard to pick out a very favourite part from this wonderful, crazy, self-aware slice of northern life in video game form. The third game I was going to recommend is Tactical Breach Wizards. I've got to sing the praises of Tactical Breach Wizards by Suspicious Developments. That's the same team that were behind Gunpoint and Heat Signature. The game feels like a cross between XCOM or Xenonauts turn-based tactical combat and Rainbow Six's Special Ops theme, except instead of a squad of gun-toting body-armoured military or police types, your squad is a team of wizards in a world in which magical combat specialists work alongside conventionally equipped soldiers on missions where their powers make all the difference. For example, Jen the Storm Witch primarily uses large static shocks to fling targets around, relatively harmless, unless she or her teammates have arranged for or tricked enemies to be standing next to something they can be thrown into, or near to a window that they can be flung out of. By itself, that would make a good enough game. There's certainly sufficient differences between all of the powers that the magic users exploit that you'll find all kinds of ways to combine them. How about having your teleport-capable medic blink themselves to a corner so your witcher's multi-step lightning bolt can use him as a channel to get around the corner and zap a target there? Or what about using the time manipulation powers of your Navy Seer, yes really, to give your siege cleric enough actions that they can shield push your opponent to within range of the turret you hacked, and so on. But tactical breach wizards, which stands somewhere between a tactical squad-based shooter and a deterministic positional puzzle game, goes beyond that by virtue of its storytelling. Despite the limitations of the format, the game manages to pack in a lot of background and personality for every one of your team, and even many of the NPCs too. Steve Clark, Traffic Warlock, is a riot. Oh, and much of the dialogue is laugh-out-loud funny to boot. They feel like they're bantering with each other as they prepare to breach a door. The writing is great, to the extent that when I got to the epilogue, interactive segments during the credits when you can influence what happens next to each of the characters you've come to know, I genuinely flip-flopped on a few of them to try to give them the best opportunity to continue to feature in one another's lives, even though the game was over. It's that compelling. And puzzling out some of the tougher levels, especially if you're going for the advanced confidence challenges, is also really fun. But with autosaves every turn, the opportunity to skip and return to levels that are too challenging, a within-turn undo feature that lets you explore different strategies before you commit to one, all make this a great game for someone who, like me, doesn't have much time to dedicate to concentrated play. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to in my video gaming time this year, and I can thoroughly recommend all of Horizon Forbidden West, Thank Goodness You're Here, and Tactical Breach Wizards. Have you got any suggestions for me for the autumn or winter? If so, you can leave them as comments on the accompanying blog post at danq.link/2024, or email me on podcast@danq.me. And as always, Dan Q for listening. Dan Q very much.